Welcome to the FT Alliance podcast series on fashion tech and recruitment processes. This podcast is with Hilde van Rossen, a member of the Executive Personnel Department at Centex Bell, in conversation with Professor Jose Tjernesen, the Dean of the School of Design and Technology at London College of Fashion.
Welcome, Hilde. Nice to speak to you. And as one of our consortium members, I'm really interested to hear a little bit more about yourself, your company, and maybe you can tell us also a little bit about the size of the company, how many people are working in your company, and what are the core values of your companies?
Yes, hello. Thank you for inviting me. Centex Bell is a medium-sized company of 200 employees, divided between three work seats in Belgium, and we have also agents abroad in Asia, in India, in China, and in Turkey. We are an R&D company, so our main business is R&D and everything that's related to it. And our core values are the environment, recycling, sustainability. And we are very oriented to our clients, which are which is the industry.
What kind of industry? All kind of industry.
Yeah. Historically, it was the textile industry, but that has changed during the years because textile industry is very limited. So we are at service of any industry that has to do something with textile fibers or plastics.
How is recruitment embedded into your company? How does your company normally recruit? Maybe you can explain a little bit more, because, you know, it's coming from the project that we're currently running, we're just facing, you know, that there are a lot of challenges in to attract the right talent, because the industry is just changing a lot, and especially fashion tech developments really just are shifting the landscape. But to start first with, what is exactly, how do you normally recruit? What are the right people to recruit to your company? And what is the process you normally undertake?
Yeah. In our process the recruiting process, we always start with an intern mutation possibility for people who work in our company. We think that's important, and when we don't find possibilities internal, then we search the market. For the recruitment, we from HR always collaborate with the experts on the floor, because we always mostly we recruit very specialized profiles, and so an input from specialists is needed. What we do, we have a database that we have built up during several years, in which we have at this moment more than 1,000 people that we have contacted in the past. But we, as the market now is very, very narrow and will be more narrow furthermore, we think it's very important to use all the social media that are available to as a kind of employer branding, and also to communicate the possibilities of working in our company. So we try to mix, we try a mix of employer branding and yeah, the publication of the profiles we needed.
Yeah, and so you're working very closely with people on the ground to make sure you have
Yeah.
the right profile.
Yeah.
And what kind of profile is it? Has it become more difficult to find, people, candidates with the right education or the right background? Is that changing, or is that really depending on the project?
No, that is definitely changing. Before the COVID crisis, we didn't have difficulties to find the right technical or scientific profiles, but now we have much more difficulties to find the right person. So we need to do more effort to attract people.
And why is that related to COVID-19? Does it mean that you're less you're in, it's less attractive to get people from abroad to your company, or what is that?
That could be a possibility, but I think the narrow the market in general is very narrow for technical and scientific profiles, and I don't know whether it is due to the COVID crisis or not, but in this moment we are facing difficulties to attract that kind of people. Yes, we even contact schools for people who graduate, but they mostly they already have a project for working afterwards. Yeah.
Oh yeah, okay. So
Yeah.
really, okay. That could be because this whole technical, innovation area might be taken more, maybe more and more companies are just hiring those people. That could be a reason why. What is the process you put in place if of course you recruit people, you ask them a CV, a portfolio, an interview. What is your normal procedure to make sure you hire the right candidate?
Yeah, we always start with a CV and some motivation. If we think it's interesting what we see in the CV, then we contact the people by telephone or yeah, since COVID also via a digital interview, just to make sure that we that it matches with the C that the person matches with the CV we received. And then we invite the people for an interview with the technical expert as to communicate about the technical aspects of the job.
Yeah, and you're looking up to that's to check their expertise, if it's the right person for with the right skills. Do you also look into it's an area as soft skills, or if someone is fitting in the team and the culture of your company?
Yeah, and in fact, that is part of the preparing the preparation of the selection. We try to check profiles on, for example, LinkedIn or Facebook or even TikTok, and that gives some information about the personality of someone. We combine this with the technical aspects from the CV, and then yeah, we try to make us a realistic view of the person we are communicating with. But I think the interview itself is still very important because that shows more aspects of the personality. During an interview, you can also check certain aspects of soft skills by asking the right questions. Yeah.
Such as, for example.
Yeah, past experiences in companies, good and bad experiences. What do people do in their free time? The classical things can reveal a lot of information.
And do you also consider sometimes like different methods? Because that's some other companies told us, like sometimes they give people small briefs to answer, or some are even using, you know, take them a short time on board as an intern before they just offer them the job. So do you sometimes consider different ways of, yeah.
Yes, we do. Sometimes we have students here, for example, students who are in their last year of their education, and they do an internship in our company, and so we learn we learn about their possibilities and about their person, and that's a good manner to get to know people. We also recruit interims. Which we give a temporary contract to see whether the person fits in or not.
Do you offer sometimes also people internal trainings, or you know, maybe mentoring, or you know, when they're coming in? So just to make sure that they just fit in well, or do you learn things? So what's, yeah.
That we do. As we have very specific profiles with very specific skills, it's always necessary to provide some internal forming activities. For the most of the profiles we engage, we have a training program on the job.
So there are all kind of mechanism actually to make sure you have the right staff, and even if they come in, also there is also their mechanism to make sure people are, you know, are supported and are able to, you know, fit in and just, you know, learn on the spot.
What we also do is after 3 months, for example, we make a sort of we have contact with the people to see whether they're still in the right place. So we do a sort of evaluation, but very a soft evaluation, but to show that, but it has to come from both sides. We can be very satisfied, but the person in question can be disappointed. So we have to check this, and we do this normally after 3 months, and again after 6 months.
Yeah, so it's also, you know, a check if the person is in it from both sides, if the expectations are, you know, if yeah, so that I think is a very a nice way of making sure that, you know, you have the right people in place and they're happy with the company. My next question is a little bit, and I think it might be a bit different because you are an R&D company. Because most of our consortium partners are fashion companies or fashion tech companies, and they're sometimes, you know, they're looking, they are in a process of change, and sometimes they have fashion tech incubators or startups on board to actually, you know, bring in the innovation. But I think for Centexpel, looking at the explanation, you are already an innovation and R&D company. But maybe you can tell us a little bit more, a little bit about change, because I think even in your company that is, you know, working on innovation, how do you work with innovation and teams? Because I think the knowledge is also progressing very likely, and maybe also the ways of working are changing. So, you know, maybe you can explain a little bit about your company structure and how you deal with innovation.
Well, I can speak for my department, for example. What we are now we are now focusing on making a lot of processes digital. And that includes all processes. We try to work in a digital way. We have a very good IT department. I think that's the basic need for establishing that kind of processes. And it has been there has been an acceleration due to the COVID situation, of course. So what we try to do is to make, for example, the education and learning. We are busy to establish an digital platform for this. All kinds of administrative paperwork is done in a digital way. So yeah, that's an important change over the last 2 years, I would say. Yeah, and we see the same evolution in other divisions of our company. The way people communicate with each other is facilitated by all kinds of programs in which you can include documents, conversations, like Teams, for example. So we are more and more using these platforms to work.
And how is your company structure? Is that also, does that need a sort of flexibility for people who are working with you? Do they work on projects, and are they, shifting from one team to another, or is there something you can explain about?
Flexibility is needed because people belong to a certain division, but the projects are in projects are people needed from the different divisions. So yes, they have to be flexible, and they are in different teams at the same time. And that's a shift people are making, and I think a very important issue in this is communication. We have to communicate a lot of these new ways of working, but once people are used to it, it's a gain of time, and it's a gain of efficiency. If people see that it's positive for them, they apply it.
And is it also is there some learning time needed? Because if they come from different departments, they might be used to different language or different way of working, that they actually need to find a way to collaborate or to understand, or is
Yeah, it needs a certain time, but the people are very open to it. Our population are mostly scientific persons, and that are persons that are very curious about new ways of working. So I think in that way we are it's good that we have a population like this, because we don't have difficulties to introduce new systems.
So that, therefore, I think that curiosity and collaboration skills are then also very important to check in an interview, aren't they?
Sure. And that are aspects that you can also reveal from, for example, profiles on social media. There are certain elements that you can see there.
And maybe you can have a nice example for us, because I think students will be interesting to hear. What, for example, does show that someone is, you think, okay, that's something interesting in the profile.
You can see it in the photographs, for example, they post on Instagram. If there are certain humor, for example, is also important. Humor reveals that a person is open for other opinions, for example. That's an aspect that you can see, and that that provokes sympathy, and you're curious about the person.
Because you see, other interests and all those different things.
I would perhaps add also the way people their engagement for example social issues or bigger problems can be revealed from some things you see on social media, and that has happened here in the past, but I can't give you a very clear example of it. But the students should be aware that all they post on social media, and that is open for everybody, is also seen by eventual future employers and can be important.
Yeah, I think you give me a very nice answer because you mentioned humor, you mentioned also engagement that you can see in the profile, and the last thing, awareness that your social media profile is open for everyone. So it actually gives you a profile, even if you are not aware of it, you should be aware of it. That brings me very nicely to the next question. That actually is about some advice for students or candidates who would like to apply for a position. Do you have any idea how they can better pitch their ideas and demonstrate their skills on top of the motivation letter? Or maybe they should do it in a motivation letter and the CV. Do you have any other suggestions here?
Yeah, I think their communications should be embedded in their public profiles, their own public profiles. But I think there's also a role for the school there. I think schools which do projects with their students should more communicate, open about this, so that for example, companies who are interested can also see some things there. I think it should be very more large than just a CV or some photos or a motivation letter. You should see the whole thing. There should be communication is a key word, I think. It should be embedded in a larger project. That not only goes about appealing for a job, but is revealing your personality.
And what about, do you also look at how, if they have the right idea of what Centex bill is, where they're applying for? Is that also something you just keep an eye on when you look to the CV or the interview?
Yes, of course. Yes, of course. But that rarely happens.
Oh, yeah.
But we have a good website, so we always ask the people to check the website in advance, and to have a good view of the company, and to have they have the possibility to ask questions afterwards. We are not very known in student environments because we are known by companies. Our clients are companies. We don't have a product in the shop, so we are not so known. That has changed last year due to the COVID crisis because we were very implied in the testing of the masks. So in that way we have had some publicity in a good way.
Yeah, okay, so you have some profile. I can imagine that that makes it a little bit more difficult than, for example, students and candidate applying for a brand with a clear profile, because then I know exactly where they're applying for. Moving forward, what if you're writing your job descriptions, what is important for you? I think you explained already a little bit that you refer candidates to your website to make sure they just know a little bit more about Centex Bill. But are any changes, in the job descriptions that you have just, if your important points that you think, okay, this is for us very important to put in the job descriptions?
That's something that is evaluating also. We try to make the job description that we publish much more attractive. We add photographs, for example, because we try to attract people who are scientifically interested. So we put photographs of machines that we use here, which are very high tech, to attract people. I think in a job description, the image of the company is very important to make a difference with the concurrence on the market. And then it should be very clear for the people who apply, in which company they will be engaged. We focus in our job descriptions on independency, on flexibility, because that are very important issues for younger persons who are searching for jobs now. So we try to adapt our descriptions on the market we want to attract.
Okay, that I think is a very nice answer. That brings us to the very last part of the podcast and my final questions, and that's about inclusivity. I think it's something that's really high on the agenda. So how is Centerpel actually aware of, you know, or just how are you approaching to get in a more like diverse workforce? Maybe you have already a diverse workforce, and how are you making sure actually you are inclusive in your job description, for example, you know, in the way the language you're using? Is there any awareness, you know, about addressing, you know, and just, you know, being aware that there are people with all kind of different backgrounds, different language, different, you know, social economic backgrounds, but also sometimes coming from, you know, a complete different culture. So it's interesting to hear, you know, Centerpel, what kind of company are you? Are you international? And how are you addressing this topic?
Yeah, I can say we already are an inclusive company. And we try to show this in our job descriptions that we publish. So we try not to focus on any aspect that could reveal gender or nationality or whatever. We try to focus on the context and on the content of the job, and we also imply different persons. So it's not one person who decides that a person shall be engaged or shall be invited for an interview. There are several persons, and if there should be aspects like language, for example, which are important, we discuss it. Because sometimes for us it's important that a person speaks Dutch. If it's someone who has to work in the laboratories with other colleagues who only speak Dutch, it's important that the person speaks Dutch. Then the language is something we should take in consideration. But when it's not necessary, for example, for research profiles, then we make abstraction of the language, and we look to the profile of the person who is applying. We are an inclusive company, and we put us by we put some time in it because sometimes people don't have a working permit, for example, to work in Europe or to work in our country. And then we have to, it's a large administrative process to get this done. And we do this. So we can say we are open for any kind of person who want to work here, who has the right profile and the right capacities. Yeah, we have several LGBT persons working for Centexbel, for example. We don't make an issue of that. They feel that working here is okay, is good. There's no we have persons from other nationalities, other colors. We are a mixture of this, and it's good like this. We learn from each other. There are, for instance, refugees who have an higher education and who continue their education here in Belgium. There are also people, who live here and people with an higher scientific education, but they start working here, for example, in the laboratory, just to work themselves up because they have the capacities. But in the beginning, they have to they still have to learn. So we in the recent selection procedures, we mentioned that we have a lot of foreign people applying. So I think, they are refugees or people who live here after their studies. There are also people who have studied abroad and who come to they don't have job opportunities in their own country, and they come here. For example, Spanish people. We have we have Spanish people who apply for scientific jobs here. Yeah, Portuguese people. Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know. And how if you talk about statistics, could you give any idea what's the amount of people is just to know?
It still is a minority, yeah. I think from the 200 there should be 10, 15 people with other backgrounds, with another nationality, yeah. But I think in the future it will be more, yeah.
Okay, that's good to hear, all the principles and the way you're very open into include people with a different background and different, and also that you nurture them. Yeah, I think it's very interesting to hear because a lot of collaborations, working on innovations are central to part of all the fashion companies. So I think the things we've discussed have a lot of commonality. So thank you, Hilde. We are thank you for answering all the questions I had, and it was, I think, a really interesting discussion. And thank you very much. Thanks.
Thank
Bye.
you.